stealing my purse. Somebody please help me. I need an alpha male immediately.
Ma'am, I'm here. How can I help you?
Oh, you ain't gonna do. I need an alpha male immediately. Help!
Can I help you, ma'am?
Oh, hell no. You can't help me. I need an alpha male immediately. Help! Help!
Ma'am, do you need any help?
Perfect.
Why did you stop? Weirdo. You are so weird.
The criminal done ran away as soon as they saw Hot Scott.
Hot Scott.
That's all we needed was an alpha male to come in and fix the situation, and we got one. So
I'm happier than a raccoon in a trash can now.
I was more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. So thank you, Will and Taylor, for at least trying to help me.
Yep.
It's much appreciated. But why'd we do this skit? It's because we're going to be doing a reaction video for you guys. You might be wondering, why is Amala dressed in Will's shirt? Why is Will wearing a jacket when it's clearly hot in this office? And why is Taylor wearing PragerU merch?
It's a schmedium.
It's a schmedium. And it's because we're not actually here in the office. We are at Taylor's wedding today.
What was the point of changing shirts if you're just going to tell everyone we changed shirts? You literally just failed.
We told them yesterday
we're not filming these back to back and trying to trick you into thinking that we filmed them on the same day.
We told them on Thursday that we were not going to be here Friday, so they know we're not here. We're at Taylor's wedding.
This part out because you just spoiled it.
You have to edit it out of the other video.
Will is suffering in a hot jacket, and I'm wearing a really tight shirt that we just had on hand just because now.
Well, we told them yesterday we weren't going to be here today, so you guys already know it.
It's true.
This is pre-recorded, in case you couldn't tell, in case you couldn't use deductive reasoning.
I feel like I was being manipulative.
You're being manipulative? No, we changed it for the experience. Sorry, my eye is itchy.
Listen, Scott, you edit this however you want, but let's get into this video, okay?
Yes, this is Are You an Alpha?
For the love of God, please.
From after school. Here we go.
Do that one more time.
Okay.
Because we might add some stuff, and Taylor was talking while you said that.
This is Are You an Alpha from after school. Let's react.
Serotonin is the leadership chemical. The reason I call it the leadership chemical is a historical reason, a very simple historical reason. We had a very practical problem as our animal was developing, as the Homo sapien was developing. We lived in communities of about 100 and 150 people. And there's a very practical issue, which is if we're hungry and somebody brings back food and drop a carcass on the floor, we're all going to rush in to eat. And if you're lucky enough to be built like a linebacker, you will elbow your way to the front. And if you're the artistic one of the family, you get the elbow in the face. Not a good system to keep the whole tribe alive, and definitely not a good system for cooperation. Because remember, the value of group living means that if I trust you and you trust me, I can fall asleep at night and trust that you will alert me to danger. If I don't trust you, I can't go to sleep at night. It's the same in our companies. If we trust each other, we will turn our backs, we will take risks, we will innovate, we will do things that will change the course of our world. If I don't trust you, I can't do that. I can't do that. There's value in group living and group working.
You trust me?
I think I could sleep with Will in the same room.
Jeez, why would you say it like that?
That's what
Oh, God.
The audience has been waiting to hear that for so long.
Yeah, I know. They're dying.
That's the example that they gave. I wasn't saying it like that.
No, listen, I trust Hot Scott, too. I could definitely see myself sleeping in the same bed.
Absolutely.
No, it makes total sense.
And so if you got an elbow in the face that afternoon, odds are very high that you're not going to wake the guy who punched you if danger's there. You're just not going to do it. Bad system. And so we evolved into hierarchical animals. We're constantly assessing and judging each other, constantly arranging ourselves. Who's the alpha? Who's the dominant? Who's the one who is the more dominant personality or dominant talent in the room? In caveman times, it might have been physical muscle. In a creative industry, it might be talent. In the military, it might be courage. There's no standard by which we judge alphas. It's relative to the industries we're in.
I think that's a good point. going on and talking about alphas and how we actually judge them, that people think that, oh, if you're going to be this alpha leader in society, you have to be this 6'5" jacked dude with a super deep voice who's going to lead people. And it's like, no, really being the alpha means, again, like Taylor has talked about and Jordan Peterson talks about, is competence, is being the most competent person in a room is someone who is the alpha. So whatever sort of scenario that you're in, whether it's about communicating with people or creating something or being courageous on the battlefield or weightlifting, like whatever it is, you are the person who is the best at that certain thing to make yourself into the alpha person in that respective field.
Yeah, it's just like we talked about yesterday with the socialist versus the capitalist. They talked about how they were so against competition and that competition wasn't inherently bad for human beings, but competition, just like being an alpha, is completely adaptive to the situation that you're in, and you can apply that to different characteristics of who you are. That can be compassion, that can be assertiveness, that can be aggression. Alpha does not always mean you're just this super assertive, unwavering, strong and aggressive man.
And it's relative to us as well. If you've ever met someone and you were nervous.
Oh, it's a picture of me.
My God.
Wow, he drew me. Except that should be a frisbee,
that
not
hair,
a football.
There
that
should be
hair.
A stash.
You really want to take claim on that?
Dude's sick.
While you were meeting them.
Oh, he drew Taylor,
there's,
too.
Oh,
drew
Taylor, I was going to say there's Will.
There's Taylor and Will right here. Aww. Perfect drawing.
Not the alpha. We've all had the experience where we're meeting somebody and we can sense that they're nervous meeting us. You're the alpha. I'll tell you a little aside that's kind of funny. You know when women all live together, their menstrual cycles align, right? Assuming they're not on the pill, then it doesn't work, right? But if they're not on the pill, that all the menstrual cycles go together on the same schedule. It's not arbitrary. They always align with the alpha female's schedule. And the reason is because when a woman is in her menstrual cycle, she can't bear children. And so in evolutionary terms, you want the alpha male and the alpha female to do it so you can have alpha children, right? Nice, strong, strapping kids are going to survive. But if she's off the market, that produces competition. So Mother Nature has created a very clever way that when she's off the market, everyone's off the market. Back to the talk. So we're constantly judging and assessing each other who's alpha, right? And what we do is when we assess that someone else is the alpha, we voluntarily take a step back and allow them to eat first. Alphas get first choice of meat and first choice of mate. Good system. Good system. The alpha gets to eat first. The rest of us may not get the best cut of meat, but we will get to eat eventually and we won't get an elbow in the face.
Here's the thing. When taking this into sort of like a capitalist or economic sense too, like the alpha. Essentially what this could mean in this sort of sense is like someone who really does a good service or someone who has a really good product, it's a really good business, like that business or, you know, that person who's the CEO of this company is going to be, first of all, taking on the risk, and then secondly, they're going to be the person who should be able to get the most out of it, right? It's like, instead of having these, like you have this picture of these little monkeys versus the alpha monkey or the gorillas. That's a gorilla, but then these are monkeys. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the alpha gorilla, like he gets to eat first because he's the strongest one. And these other monkeys aren't really jealous of him. They aren't envious of him. They know that the gorilla is providing for them and also protecting the colony and everything. And so that's why they eat second versus right. More of like a socialist leftist mindset that says, wow, why does the bigger gorilla who's stronger and worked harder than me, why does he get to eat first? It's like it should be fairly obvious to people to see why that gorilla should be able to eat before the tiny monkeys.
And it's funny because it's all facets of the way that we live in our daily lives. It's like even working at PragerU, you can tell who is sort of higher up on the chain and who is lower on the chain based on the way that people interact. When Will and I go to different events like rallies and things like that, there's definitely a differential in the way that you get treated when you are alpha versus the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get treated like an alpha.
Yeah,
like
I would say so.
Alpha.
I think both of us do, and that just comes with the prowess of doing what we do and entering the political space in the way that we do. And that's not a sort of tuning your own horn type of thing, but you're doing something that other people aren't doing, and that sets you in sort of this hierarchical chain.
Yeah.
Good system. We'll happily alert them to danger later. Good system. This is why we're constantly trying to raise our status, is because there are benefits to being the alpha. People will do things for us and step back and offer us favors, right? We're perfectly comfortable giving special treatment to our alphas. No one has a problem that your boss makes more money than you. You might think he's an ass, but you don't have a problem that he makes more money. Nobody has a problem that somebody who outranks us at work has a bigger office than us. Doesn't offend us. It is deeply ingrained in us. We happily step aside and allow our alphas first choice of meat and first choice of mate. It's good to be the king. There are advantages that come with being the alpha. You get special treatment. You get to eat first. People show you love and respect. It boosts the serotonin. You walk around like this. It boosts your confidence. It's awesome. But it comes at a cost. You see, the group is not stupid. We're not giving all of that stuff away for free. Leadership, alpha, comes at a cost. You see, we expect that when danger threatens us from the outside, that the person who's actually stronger, the person who's better fed, and the person who is actually teeming with serotonin and actually has higher confidence than the rest of us, we expect them to run towards the danger to protect us. This is what it means to be a leader. The cost of leadership is self-interest. If you're not willing to give up your perks when it matters, then you probably shouldn't get promoted. You might be an authority, but you will not be a leader. Leadership comes at a cost.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to know, that if you are going to get these special privileges and be someone who is there, that when push comes to shove, you have to be someone to stand up against evil. That's why it's tough when you see people who are, you know, conservative or liberal or politicians in general, people who are in power, who have been given this pedestal and said, we need you to defend our rights from evil. We need you to defend our country. We need you to defend my self-interest as a citizen of this nation. And then they instead don't do it. And they go for their own self-interest. It's like, well, why did I think that you were an alpha in the first place when you betrayed everything that a leader is supposed to be?
Leadership should always be coupled with accountability. And now we're entering the stage in our current modern day where leadership is not coupled with accountability. It's sort of frivolous and you can do whatever you want. And even though the truth may sit right in front of people's faces, that an action that you have done has led to peril or death or harm, and there's no accountability for that. You just get to go on doing exactly what you've been doing before.
I'm not going to talk today, Taylor.
You guys, I mean, I was really going to say what Amala said, but I think you nailed it, so keep going.
You don't get to do less work when you get more senior. You have to do more work. And the more work you have to do is put yourself at risk to look after others. That is the anthropological definition of what a leader is. This is why we're so offended by these banker boys who pay themselves astronomical salaries. It has nothing to do with the number. It has to do with the fact that they have violated a deep-seated social contract. We know that they made all of that money and allowed their people to be sacrificed. In fact, they may have sacrificed their people for the money. If I told you we're going to give $150 million to Nelson Mandela, would anyone have a problem with that? Nope. $250 million to Mother Teresa. Got an issue with it? Nope. It's not the number. It's not the amount of money they make. It's that we are deeply and viscerally offended that we know that we allowed them to have this alpha position and they did not fulfill their responsibility of the alpha. They're supposed to sacrifice themselves for us, never sacrifice us for themselves. This is why we're angry and offended and don't trust them. They fail.
Interesting. It's an interesting analysis.
It is.
Also a very short video.
Yeah, not too long.
Which I wasn't expecting. But no, that's true. It's like there are certain people in this world that we have no issue. We take no issue with them garnering massive amounts of support and money and resources. It's only when people fail us, whether that's personally or on sort of a collective level, that we feel jealous or angry at the amount of success or resources that they've amassed.
Yeah, it's like people putting themselves at risk. Leaders who are putting themselves at risk for us, you know, like someone, a politician or someone in your business that puts their job or their status on the line to fight for something that's truly noble, that's like an amazing person. And we have no problem that person gets paid, you know, a ton of money, like a huge amount of money to be such a huge fighter, right? Like you shouldn't be worried about that. The only problem is when that person doesn't actually fight for your values and then they make a huge lot of money or get lots of women or something like that. And it's like they betrayed you. They betrayed what they were supposed to do.
At what point do you start having to be accountable for your leadership, though? Because you look at people like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. Of course, they were not always sort of accountable to everybody, but because they amassed a certain amount of success or because they impacted a certain amount of people, they're now accountable to us. what is the line with that? That's just a question that popped up into my mind.
I don't know. I think people do hold them accountable by the fact that they're in the news and on our minds all the time. Mm-hmm. So they get under the most criticism from people right and left because we all know how much of an outsized reward that they've reaped in society. And so I think there is a target on their back that is commensurate with the power that they've or the wealth that they've achieved.
Yeah. They've also put that target on their back somewhat, you know.
Yeah, because there is a sense that we're not benefiting enough from what, you know, you haven't done your duty to society enough.
Right. Yeah, especially at a position like that with the amount of money that someone like Bill Gates has or, you know, but even like someone like me, I mean, I have a target on my back and same type of deal, same with Amala, even Taylor with his, you know, smaller amount of followers, but you know, still
400 Twitter followers, guys.
No, but it's weird.
Major responsibility.
At a certain point, you do garner this sort of leadership, and what they express in here is that at a certain point, you are accountable to people. Like now, if a certain political issue pops up in the sphere, we're accountable to people to talk about it and to take a stance on it and to stand by that stance. And hopefully it's one that people agree with, but we do have an accountability to the people who
right,
watch
if we
us
want
and
people
support
to
us.
Go to prageru.com/donate and help us out or like any, or whatever it might be or watch our show or anything.
Right.
It means that we are being held accountable to somewhat of the things that we're doing to help people.
Right.
You know, to help the people who aren't the alphas all the time.
And it applies to all levels of the hierarchy. You don't have to be this massively successful person whose one decision impacts millions of people on a day-to-day basis like Bezos and Zuckerberg are. Simply being a sister or a peer or being a father or a mother is your accountability. You're now accountable to somebody, and the choices that you make directly impact them, and you are a leader, and you should be held to the same standards as anybody else who is directly impacting another person.
You know what I'm thinking of is Spider-Man, Uncle Ben. Not Uncle Ben of Uncle Ben's Rise fame,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Spider-Man's uncle says, with great power comes great responsibility. And there's so much truth in that statement.
That's got to be from something else.
It's from Uncle Ben.
I think it was, with great rice comes great responsibility. And then they changed it for Spider-Man.
I'm just worried that quote is actually from somebody of much more importance
it is from
Spider-Man. It's from Spider-Man, Amla, yeah. Just because you don't know the heroic tales that influence our society.
But you don't think they got that
men.
From somebody else?
Learn about Peter Parker and come back to you, okay? That's a true alpha. Have you seen Spider-Man 3?
No.
That's a true alpha.
I think I've seen the first Spider-Man ever maybe when I was like a little kid, but I don't remember it.
And by the way, that's Goblin. From like what?
Toby
what was
Maguire.
That? 2001, 2003 that came out,
yeah.
And that's pre-woke movies. And that's a big concern I have now is like the way that we are giving archetypes to our kids and young men about what it means to be a hero and what it means to shoulder responsibility. Back then, it was great power comes great responsibility. Shoulder the burden, be the hero. You have these special powers. You owe it to the world to bear that with responsibility and give back with them. And that was what we inserted into our films was those types of narratives that are traditional archetypes of masculinity and what it means to be a hero. And now we're artificially plastering together these like woke narratives into all these movies. And it's all about, did we have a lesbian kiss and how many Asian people were represented? And do they go on a little anti-capitalist spree to kill the gun people in Star Wars and
all
this
Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. But that whole movie, it killed me inside because I'm like, this isn't a plot. This isn't giving people an archetype of a hero's journey to follow like the original Star Wars. This is like a bunch of plastered together leftist ideology that is just trying to indoctrinate people and reinforce this activist ideas.
Right. And it's not only that, it's like you're not accountable to people who don't make you feel good as a person. You're not accountable to people who don't support you in every way, shape, or form that they can. You're not accountable to people who don't support every ounce of your ideology. And if they don't do it, that's their fault that you harmed them in the long run. It's their fault for not agreeing with you that they didn't end up where they were supposed to end up.
It's like Teddy Roosevelt, walk softly and carry a big stick. Like you have that power, so you're ready to use it. But when you're going throughout your life, you know, you want to do the right thing and be ready to sacrifice when you have to.
And just for the record here, with great power comes great responsibility. Despite its popularization in the 20th century, the adage conceptually dates back to the 4th century BC in an illusion of the sword of Damocles.
Okay, but that's the conception of the adage is not the same thing as the line.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean that specific phrasing dates back to Diphocles.
Well, I'm going to read more about this, and I'm going to get back to you guys.
You know what the Sword of Damocles is?
No.
Sword of Damocles is a sword that essentially hung hung over this guy's head that was attached to a string. And it was like, with great power comes great responsibility. If the sword was cut, it would kill him. And it's a very interesting thing.
How does a sword now I'm learning on about a string this. Teach you a great responsibility?
Because he was so high up that, like, I forget exactly.
It's actually biblical. So it's actually from a Bible verse from Luke 12:48, where from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded.
Yeah,
so
it's a just biblical a rewording. Idea.
Yeah, yeah, but not sure. the
yeah.
words.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's reworded.
His yeah, phrase. But you got that mad because mean. Of
yeah,
what we're
saying. We're saying the one is straight from the Spider-Man.
I will eventually track down this adage to its very origins. I'm just saying.
This week on Mythbusters.
Now that the seed has been planted in my mind, I'm going to find out where it's actually from. I just have a strong feeling that it's not actually from Spider-Man.
Amala's our independent fact checker at Pretty Review. Yeah, he's going to flag our posts.
Oh, as Will would say, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. That's right.
Now that we determined that Will and Taylor are the biggest alpha males in the office, we actually have a special guest on the program today, a PragerForce member by the name of Shekinah, and here's that interview. Hi, everybody. On today's program, we have a beautiful PragerForce member by the name of Shekinah. You might recognize her from her Instagram, Real Shekinah, where she's amassed over 100,000 followers just by putting out her conservative views and talking about her values. Shekinah, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
What do you think it is about your message that has made so many people resonate with you? I mean, getting 100,000 followers with political stuff or cultural stuff is no small feat. I mean, if you're a girl on Instagram selling tea, it's much easier. But yeah. to do something actually impactful and meaningful is a big deal. What do you think is the main reason why people resonate so hardly?
I think it's because a lot of people want unity. I think this country, there's so many different people in this country and so many people with different views in this country. And I was adopted by a white family when I was 2 weeks old. And so I think I have a unique perception of society and Black people and culture in general. And so I think people really resonate with that because everything in the media and on the left is trying to divide people. And so I really try to bring a message of unity to people. And I think that's why a lot of people really resonate with it.
Right. So we share something in common is that we are young Black female conservatives and we were raised by a white family. What has mm-hmm. been the response that you've gotten because of that? I know a lot of times I get the, oh, well, you're only conservative because you were raised by white people. What is your response to people who say that to you?
I don't think there's one way to be Black. And I think it's actually pretty racist if you do think that. I think that is literally the backbone of what most white supremacists believe. They believe that that Black people only act one way, which is not true. And that's sad. And so my biggest thing is if we really want unity in the Black community, and if we really want Black people to move forward, different ideas should absolutely be accepted. And people with different perspectives in the Black community should be accepted. And so I do my best to not take offense to those type of things, but that is a big part of what a lot of people say. But I also get a lot of positivity from Black people and people of all races. And so it's worth it because I get much more positive messaging from people than anything else.
You've been working with Blexit. I believe I met you at mm-hmm. one of the Blexit events.
Yeah.
I thought so. What city was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I've gone to almost every Blexit rally. There's very few that I've
missed. Yeah. I've been at every single one speaking mm-hmm. as the token white guy.
Yeah.
For every single one.
Yeah.
And the message of Blexit is essentially telling Black people in America to get off of the Democrat plantation, essentially to leave the left and wake up and see what the truth actually is. What is your main message for African Americans in this country who might be thinking about their own type of Blexit?
I think that if you look at what the left is pushing, it is against the growth of the Black community. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's against family values. And that's one of the core things that I think is necessary in a society. It's one of the core institutions. And I think that the left is literally trying to destroy that in every single way possible. And I think most Black people are conservative. They just don't realize it. And so one of the biggest things that I want Black Americans to understand is that the left doesn't want the family to flourish. They want us to be dependent on the government. So I think the biggest thing is helping them recognize that their values are conservative and they don't align with the left and they don't align with what the left is doing, even policy-wise, at this current moment.
Years ago, If you've been in my Blexit events, you've heard me tell this story, Shekinah, but I'll tell it to everyone else. Mm-hmm. I was in an Uber ride, and I looked nice. I was in a suit. And the Uber driver, she's this Hispanic woman, and she's like, oh, you look nice. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I'm a rapper. She's like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay. I'm a political personality. And she's like, oh, okay. That's so great that we have young people getting Trump out of office. Thank you. I'm just like, oh.
Just assume.
For sure, man. For sure. But I start talking to this lady, and we're having a conversation. I don't always talk politics with my Uber drivers because they're probably going to swerve off the road and take me out, and, you know, wherever I am. But I talk because I'm interested, and I'm going to an event. And she was against the welfare state. She was against affirmative action. She wanted fathers in the homes. And, you know, she was an elementary school teacher when she was an Uber driver, and she didn't want transgender bathrooms put in her school. And it was like all the values that this lady believed in were conservative values, mm-hmm. but she thought that she was on the left
right.
and hated conservatives. It's like you just have to have the right information to actually wake people up to what their ideas actually mean. If they have these conservative values, which they probably do,
right.
they just don't know what kind of label to give to it or who to actually right. support in the country to express those values.
Yeah, absolutely. And they always label things as racist. And so that's all that people hear. They hear racism, they hear homophobia, they hear xenophobia, they hear these are the only things that the media puts out about conservatism, but that's not the core of what conservatism is. So it's just about finding the correct way to like show people the truth and give them the right information.
Right. What I really want you to share with everybody watching is where I've seen you shine outside of race relations, and that's with your fight against this modern day feminist movement. And as a young woman who is saying something that it's not what our generation is saying right now. A lot of women do not care about modesty. They don't care about true femininity. They care about this sort of new feminist movement, this new wave that has come through that's about hating men and embracing sexuality and promiscuity and things like that. What is your message to young girls who are sort of falling victim to that ideology?
Well, it's sad because every female that's pushed now in the United States of America is the exact opposite of what I think women should be. And I think feminism has actually destroyed a lot of women. And I think that the biggest thing that I would say to women is this sense of miserable feeling that I feel like a lot of women are pushing is not necessary. And there's actually value in being more than just a caricature. And I feel like a lot of these women are pushing sexuality. You have to be sexual. You have to be immodest and all of these things. And honestly, I just think it brings loneliness and emptiness. I really do. And I think a lot of women are actually miserable in that place because they don't get to show off who they truly are. I think that's the sexism that no one wants to talk about. It's this devaluing and degrading of women and moving away from what's actually feminine and what women are actually capable of doing. And I think the feminist movement is also oxymoronic because they also want to push transgenderism, which is really, really, really weird. And it's totally against women, and it's misogynistic, I think, against women too. And so I feel like there's so many different things that are trying to cause women to step away from their femininity, but I think there's power in that, and I think that a lot of women would find joy in that if they would just give it a chance and listen to other people.
Wait, you're telling me that macaroni in the pot, that's some WAP, is not good for women?
My gosh.
I am floored.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's not great for the female gender at all.
No.
Beats me. Shocking.
Really, Shekinah, I really want to just commend you for being such a powerful voice. And, you know, it's something that we have a lot in common when it comes to our place in this sort of political landscape and in this realm. And I look up to you a lot, and I love what you're doing. Where can people find you and support you?
Thank you so much. And on Instagram, it's Real Shekinah. On Twitter, it's the same thing, but with an extra H on the end. And it's Shekinah. And then I believe I'm also on TikTok with the same username. So, yeah.
Guys, this is the Real Shekinah. All right, no fake Shekinahs out there. Okay? Don't be following no fake accounts.
And I know you're new to PragerFors too. What has that been like so far?
Yeah. I love it. I really love supporting organizations, and I love that there are organizations even out there to actually push back against, you know, a lot of what's mainstream right now. So I really enjoy just being able to support a lot of these different organizations. I think it's awesome.
Amazing. Well, we're happy to have you. The more voices we can get, the better. So if you are in high school, college, or a young professional below the age of 35, join PragerForce by going to PragerForce.com. You might be featured on our show, like the beautiful Shekinah here, or at the very least, you'll just get the chance to meet like-minded individuals online.
Go meet Amala.
Yeah. Meet me.
Guys, thanks so much for watching. Shekinah, thanks for coming on. We're going to see you guys later. Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for watching. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. And if you don't want to look at us, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or Google Play. And please go on there and leave us a 5-star review before you play our episode so that more people can see what we're talking about.
You always say that like people don't want to look at us. Who doesn't want to look at us?
That's a great question. I mean,
it's more convenience sake. If you want convenience, you can just listen to us. If you want to watch us, you go to YouTube so you can see our faces.
If you don't want to look at us, leave a comment saying so, and then we'll deliberate over that.
Yeah, tell us how ugly we are. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.